Asbury United Methodist Church. It is a joy to see all of you today. Thank you for being with us, whether you're here in our beautiful sanctuary or whether you're joining us online. We thank you for being with us, and we pray that this time of worship is a blessing to you. I'm Nick Schimmer. I'm one of the pastors here at Asbury. My colleague is Brother Hammett Evans, and he'll be preaching today's message, which is week three of our series on Job titled From the Whirlwind. This week, we will look at God's response to Job, and we pray that this message is a blessing to you. Just a few announcements before we get started. First of all, our pumpkin patch is open for business today. It opens at 11 a.m., which I guess was about 5 minutes ago. We're off to a great start with pumpkin patch sales, and I want to thank everybody who has volunteered their time so far and those who will volunteer their time in the future. This is a huge fundraiser for our youth ministry. It pays for so many of our missions and ministries and all the things that the students want to do. So I thank you for your time, and I thank you for your support of this pumpkin patch. I say that to also say that we have plenty of volunteer shifts left available. So if you would like to give your time in that way, feel free to look at the link in the Asbury email or contact me, and we'll be happy to get you squared away on that. As you pulled in today on the north side, you may have seen a huge Hug and Haul storage container. Our ACCDC is doing a yard sale, and they are in the process of collecting items for that yard sale. So if you have anything that you would like to donate, feel free to bring it by the church. There's two ways you can do that. You can bring it by the church office if it's a smaller item. If it's a larger item, I encourage you to call the church ahead of time, and Aura and Abby or one of the church staff will be happy to meet you out at that container, and we can unload it and we can put it in there. It's going to be a wonderful fundraiser for our ACCDC, and so we pray that you'll be able to support that in any way you can. Next Sunday is a very busy Sunday here at Asbury. Clear your schedules because we have plenty to do. On top of the wonderful worship in Sunday school that we'll have in the morning, in the afternoon at 1:30, we will once again have our Stone Soup Mission. So we will gather at Quapaw Quarter UMC, and we will serve our dear friends that are in need of a hot meal and a warm smile and handshake. And then at 4 o'clock, we'll make our way back here for the Asbury Annual Trunk or Treat Festival. It's going to be a wonderful time for our children, for our adults to come together in fellowship. I encourage you, if you haven't already signed up for a trunk, to do so. It doesn't need to be anything elaborate. Just bring your car, open the trunk, have a bag of candy, and the kids will be happy with that, and they'll be excited to see you. So I encourage you to be part of that next weekend. As you head out the door today, you will see our offertory basket right outside in the hallway. You are welcome to give to the missions and ministries of Asbury that way, or you may use our online and technologically friendly ways as well, as far as text and giving through our website. With that, I invite you to stand and join me in this morning's call to worship. God created the heavens and the earth. And God breathed life into each of us and set us on the earth. Everything that fills our souls with gladness and light is a gift from the loving Creator. Let us join our voices and our hearts together with the opening prayer, which is found in your bulletin. Your grace is near, O God, for you are the God of the storm. You wait in silence for us until we are open to you. Tune us to hear your voice, to face your silence without fear. Speak and bring us to our Savior, Jesus Christ, the giver of your peace. In the name of this one whom we know as the world's Savior, we pray. Amen. And now I invite you to join us in our hymn of praise this morning, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. Found on Amen. Please be seated. Now let us join our hearts together in a time of prayer. Gracious, loving, and almighty God, we give thanks to you. We give thanks to you for this day, for this morning, this opportunity to gather as your beloved children, to come together and praise and glorify your name, for all of the blessings that you continue to pour into our lives, those blessings we see and the blessings we don't see. God, we give you thanks for this ability to come together. We gather as a group, but we find ourselves all in different spaces and in different places in our journey. God, we know that above all, that you are walking alongside of us, that your tender care, love, and mercy continues to guide us and lead us, and we give you thanks for that. Now we pray this morning for our church here at Asbury. We pray for our community. We pray for those who are in need of your healing and of your love and of your grace. We pray specifically this morning for Clifford Smith. We pray for June Glazier and Betty Hill. We pray for Fred Williams and Barbara Clark. We pray for June Counts and Eddie Thorne. We pray for Patty Shoemaker and Lanny Langley. We pray for Nate Hill. We pray for our neighbor, Mrs. Franklin. We pray for Roger Dinker. We pray for Noah Logan. We pray for Jennifer Shimmer. And we pray for all of those, God, whose names sit at the top of our hearts, at the front of our minds, and at the tips of our tongues. We know, God, that you are at work in all of those lives in a mighty way. And so we ask for your continued love, for your continued mercy to be poured into all of those individuals and into our larger community, both here at Asbury and in our community here in Little Rock. God, may your bright light of love continue to shine in this community. May people continue to be guided by it. May they come to know your Son, Jesus Christ, and his mighty act. May it be us transformed into the image you call us to be that leads our neighbors to know Jesus. We pray this morning for the state of Arkansas. We pray for our nation. We pray for its leaders. God, may they be guided by your will. May it be your desire that leads them to the decisions that they make. And God, we pray this morning above all, giving you thanks for your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you for the heavy price he paid on the cross, a price we could not pay ourselves. We thank you for his resurrection and the victory over sin and death that sets us all free. We thank you for his earthly ministry. We thank you for all he taught us, is teaching us, and will teach us. We thank you for the power of prayer, for the ability to come to you, God, to bring our burdens, to give you thanks and praise. We thank you for knowing how to pray, which Jesus taught us with the Lord's Prayer, which we will now say together by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Job. We'll be in chapter 38. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7, then I'll skip ahead and read verses 34 through 41. Hear now the word of God. Then the Lord answered Job from the whirlwind. Who is this darkening my counsel with words lacking knowledge? Prepare yourself like a man. I will interrogate you and you will respond to me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Tell me if you know. Who set its measurements? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring tape on it? On what were its footings sunk? Who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang in unison and all the divine beings shouted? Can you issue an order to the clouds so their abundant waters cover you? Can you send lightning so that it goes and then says to you, I'm here? Who put wisdom in remote places? Or who gave understanding to a rooster? Who is wise enough to count the clouds? And who can tilt heaven's water containers so that dust becomes mud and clods of dirt adhere? Can you hunt and pray for the lion or fill the craving of lion cubs? They lie in their den, lie in ambush in their lair. Who provides food for the raven when its young cry to God and move about without food? This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning and welcome to Asbury. Welcome to our From the Whirlwind series. During the month of October, we're taking a pretty close read of Job's story, and I encourage you to read along at home as well. Today, we finally arrived to chapter 37, and that's a great chapter to arrive to because that's where God shows up. And so today we'll be looking at what God has to say or how God responds to Job's suffering. Next Sunday, we're going to consider whether or not Job really did live happily ever after and how that might be possible, and we'll reflect on how you and I might find happiness or a sense of satisfaction and peace after experiencing trauma. But let's begin today with a word of prayer. God, we do thank you for being with us in all times and in all places. And we pray now that you will pour out your Holy Spirit on us, whether we're gathered here in the sanctuary or gathered together online, so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, you who are our strength and our friend, our rock and our redeemer. And the people of God said, amen. I once heard a story about a photographer who worked for a national magazine, and his boss sent him out on an assignment and said, I want you to go take pictures of a forest fire, and I want you to go down to the airport, and there will be a small airplane waiting there for you, and just climb on board and go take some pictures and come back and turn them in. And so he goes to the airport, and sure enough, there's this little tiny Cessna airplane there on the tarmac, and he loads up all his gear, and he hops on board and shouts at the pilot, let's go! And the pilot looks a little nervous, but he goes ahead, and he takes off, goes down the runway, plane goes up in the air, and the photographer shouts at the pilot, okay, I want you to fly north over the fire and then make about 3 very low passes. And the pilot looks at him and says, why would you want me to do that? And the photographer says, well, I'm a photographer, and that's what photographers do. They take photographs. And the pilot looks at him with terror in his eyes and says, you mean you're not the flight instructor? You ever feel that way? like who's flying this plane? Like, who's flying this plane? You know, that's the way Job felt. Who in the world is flying this plane in my life? We've said over the last couple of weeks that Job was a very good man, the best man, and a man of absolute integrity, as the Bible says. And God blessed him until one day he lost everything. When Job's friends heard what happened last week, we saw that they came to comfort him and to console him. They didn't know what to say, so they just sat with him in silence for a whole week until Job himself finally broke the silence. And when he did, he said that he wished that he'd never been born and that it was like he was living a nightmare in which all of his fears had happened to him and to his family. The friends were so shocked that they could not remain silent hearing that. And so they spend about 34 chapters in the book of Job trying to convince their friend that he is wrong to feel the way he feels, to think the way he thinks, and to say the things that he says. In all of those arguments, Job never gives in. He always maintains that he is good. As his friends prosecute him and interrogate him, Job starts building a case of his own against God. Job is absolutely certain that if God would show up and put him on trial, that Job would be vindicated. His friends think that that's blasphemy. Well, in the end, in chapter 37, God does show up, dressed in mystery and majesty and awe and wonder. It's no coincidence that that God appears in the form of Job's deepest sorrow. You remember that Job's children were all killed in a tornado. God shows up in a hurricane spawning hundreds and thousands of tornadoes. It's terrifying. From this mighty whirlwind, God tells Job and his friends that God is beyond our comprehension. God is the creator who holds chaos at bay. God is so far beyond our understanding and experience of good and evil, of justice and injustice, of righteousness and unrighteousness, that we cannot even begin to understand the breadth and height and width and depth of God's power and goodness and love. And when God appears, we call that a theophany, which means an appearance of God. So there you go. In this theophany, God reveals two important things. First of all, God loves Job enough to show up. Job's questions don't bother God. Job's accusations don't bother God. When it comes to the big questions in life, it's like I said last week, God's a big boy. God can handle it. God doesn't mind our tears, our anger, our fear, our doubt, even our rage. God doesn't mind if we ball up our fists and shake them at God and scream, "How could you do this to me?" Second of all, when God shows up in the form of your deepest sorrow, and you stand before God who flung the stars across the sky, and when you see the God of love and justice and power and might in all of God's glory and majesty and mystery, you realize that easy answers don't cut it. It was just her time. He's in a better place. Everything happens for a reason. If everything happens for a reason, that includes reasons like, well, because you did something foolish. And just because, and, or to say, you know, to paraphrase Forrest Gump, stuff happens. Sometimes God allows us to suffer the consequences of our foolishness. Sometimes when we don't do what we're supposed to do, or we do things that we're not supposed to do, we get hurt. Or even worse, we hurt people that we love. Sometimes, no matter how good of a person you are, no matter how religious, no matter how much you pray, no matter how faithful you are, stuff happens. The question that God lays at Job's feet is, how do you trust God in the midst of all of that? How do you trust me in the midst of all of that? Well, there are four things that we affirm as Christians. First of all, we affirm that God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. There's never a time when God is not good. God does not punish us or do us harm. God does not do things like kill innocent children. God does not cause rape or war or things like that. We do those things. Last week, I mentioned my friend Vita Calhoun, and Ashley Burks reminded me that she knew her whole life. There was never a better person. When you were around Vita, you just knew that you were loved. After she had been diagnosed with cancer, she found out she was terminal. And I went over to her house to see her and check in with her. And by then she weighed less than 100 pounds. She was sitting there in her recliner, and her baby grandson was crawling around on the floor playing with his toys. Her deepest sorrow was that she wanted to see that little boy grow up and become a man. We were talking about that, and Vita looks at me from her recliner, and she says, "Sometimes I ask God why he did this to me, but God didn't do this to me. He loves me too much. There's something else in this world, evil, the devil, I don't know what to call it, but it did this, not God." You see, Vita Calhoun believed that God is good no matter what. The second thing that we affirm as Christians is that God loves freedom. God loves freedom. God could have created us to be obedient robots or marionettes on a string, but God didn't create us that way. God created us with the freedom to choose and the power to act on the choices that we make. Sometimes we do use our freedom and that power to do what God wants us to do, but sometimes we don't. Sometimes accidentally, sometimes intentionally, we choose what God would not choose for us. And there are consequences when we do that. Of course, God has taken care of the eternal consequences for us in Jesus, but that does not prevent us from suffering physical harm from our foolish mistakes. Foolish decisions sometimes bring harm upon us, and I want to tell you, I do not say that as a judgment. It's simply a fact, because God knows the foolish things that I have done and the pain that that has brought me and some people that I love. So God is good all the time, and God loves freedom. The third thing that we affirm is that God is always with us. Several years ago, I attended a funeral that a young lady in our community was killed in a car wreck. She was a high school student. And I want to share a little bit of the scripture reading that was shared at her funeral. This is from Psalm 46. The psalmist sings, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." You see, even when we make poor choices, God does not abandon us. God is always, always, always with us. So that brings us to our final affirmation. We affirm that God has the power to redeem. And what I mean by that is that God does not cause evil, but God does have this awesome power to transform evil into good. In Romans chapter 8, Paul writes, "For I reckon that the present sufferings aren't worthy to be compared to the glory about to be revealed in us. And we know that for those who love God, everything works together for good, for those called according to a purpose." Now, have you ever noticed that Paul does not say all things are good? He says all things work together for the good, for those who love God. That is the power of redemption. We can't always see the good that comes from suffering, but we do trust that good will come. Some of y'all might remember my friend Terry Everett. Terry was the director at Camp Tanico for a billion years or something like that. Like Vita, Terry was diagnosed with cancer, and eventually that became terminal. I'd like to share with you something that his daughter, my friend Kim Carter, wrote just a few days before her dad died. She wrote on the CaringBridge site, "Right now we can only see the messy underside of this tapestry. But God can see the whole beautiful picture, and we have to trust that He knows best. Please don't misunderstand that we're just okay with this whole process. It's the hardest, most awful thing I have ever done. But without a doubt, I know that God knows best, one day at a time. Dad is leaving us a legacy of love and compassion that we have to pick up and continue. Who knows how God will use us in the future with the lessons and experiences we have had with Dad. So when I'm crying and kicking to hold on, I try and remember Jeremiah 29:11. God has plans for our futures too. See, even in the midst of their grief, Terry's family trusted in God's power to redeem. So in times of tragedy, that's God's challenge to us. To trust God's power to bring good out of our current circumstance. We do that by being honest with God about our grief and our anger and our doubt and our rage. We do that by trusting and remembering in God's goodness. We do that by using our freedom wisely and by making good choices. And we do that by remembering that God is always, always, always with us. That is how we trust God's power to bring good from evil. So I don't know where you are or what you're going through today. I know what some of you are going through. But God wants you to know that there is a bigger picture to your pain. Wherever life has taken you, whatever life is handing you, God is with you all the way. Your deepest sorrow is not too deep for God. Your anger, your fear, your rage cannot push God away from you. By God's grace, better days will come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And the people of God said, Amen. Amen. Let us pray. God, we do thank you for the hope that we have for better days to come. And those of us who are seeing those better days, thank you. God, we pray for those who are hurting, for those who are grieving, for those who are angry, for those who don't even understand what their emotions are right now. We pray that you'll help us to be good friends. And we pray that you will continue to be with us as we go through the days ahead. Remind us of your power to redeem even the most awful of situations. Because you have shown us that that is possible. That is what you do through the cross of Jesus Christ and through his resurrection. Keep hope alive in our hearts and help us to serve you faithfully each and every day. We pray this in Jesus' name. And the people of God said, Amen. Let us stand now and we'll affirm our faith through the words of the Canadian Creed. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. If you'd like to become a part of the Asbury Church family, you're welcome to do that. As we sing this closing song, I know this is unfamiliar to you, but I love this hymn, and so does Diana. So We'll learn it today. We'll learn it. We may not ever do it again, amen, but we're gonna do it this morning. This is a beautiful song called God of Sparrow and God of the Whale. If you would like to become a part of the Asbury Church family, be sure and let me know that after the service, and we'll set up a time to visit about that, and I'll give you a time to do that. But let's sing together, God of the Sparrow, God of the Whale, number 122. A couple of quick reminders. There is an offering basket out in the narthex if you would like to give today, or also all of our online options are available. Next Sunday, we do see how it might be possible that Job did live happily ever after all of this stuff that he went through. I want to say a big thank you to you for being here today, as well as to our staff and our volunteers for being a part. Let's give them all a sign of our appreciation. And thank you for joining us online. We're glad to have you with us as well. Would you please receive this dismissal with blessing? Go forth with Christ above you to be your guide, with Christ below you to hold you up, with Christ beside you to be your friend, and with Christ within you to give you hope, love, joy, and peace. Go forth with Jesus Christ, your Lord. And the people of God said, Amen.